This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Luke 11:1 and a message entitled Prayer.
Well, as you know, if you've been here, we go through the New Testament on Sunday mornings. Wednesday nights, we go through the Old Testament. We're in the book of Exodus. But we've taken a little break between the book of Ephesians and the book of Philippians as we continue to go through that to look at some topical messages. A number of weeks ago, do you remember the first topical message? What was that message about? Jesus. And so we talked about Jesus. And then thought it was important that we would look at the Holy Spirit. So we've looked at the Holy Spirit. Last week, we just looked at a simple message concerning vision. Vision is very important. Without vision, you know, it's hard to go forward. God gives us vision of Him. He gives us vision of different things. But today, as you can see on the screen, we're going to look at prayer. And I want to just talk about prayer, how important it is for each and every one of us. Now, we've been together as a fellowship for 30-some years. Have I ever taught on prayer before? Most definitely I've done that. It's very important as we see and we go through this. So I don't approach it lightly, and I believe that it's important that we hear this message. So next week, we may begin there in Philippians, or there may be one more message here as I've been praying about it for the end of this series of messages here. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, vision, and prayer. It's very, very important to us. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word would speak to us. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would illuminate the truths of Scripture concerning prayer. And I pray that you would just look into our lives, that you might encourage us to understand the importance of prayer. And Lord, that you might do a supernatural miracle in our lives to give us a hunger for prayers as a congregation, group of people, but as an individuals today. As we will see, this subject is very, very important. So bless it to us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying," as Jesus was praying in a certain place, "when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" Teach us to pray is the heart of our message today. Now, again, you know about prayer. You've sat in messages concerning prayer. So to go back to go into this message again, I believe is an expression of the importance that prayer is in our lives as the Lord looks at that. Someone has said this concerning prayer: "The great need of our world, our nation, our church is for people who know how to prevail in prayer, people who know how to persist in prayer." I'll say that again. The great need of our world, our nation, our church is for people who know how to prevail in prayer, people who know how to persist in prayer. Same thing, but prevailing and persisting is very, very important. As it says, "Lord, teach us to pray." You cannot find anywhere else in Scripture something as specific as, "Lord, teach us to pray." It isn't how to pray, though we should learn how to pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is a model that we can learn how we enter into prayer and how we pray, and many other scriptures are that way. But the encouragement, the challenge indeed that we see here is that we are to pray. Listen to what Andrew Murray says concerning prayer. "Though in its beginnings, prayer is so simple that a child can pray, yet it is at the same time the highest and holiest work to which we can rise. It is fellowship with the unseen," capital U, that's God, "with the unseen and the most holy one. The powers of the eternal world have been placed at its disposal. I'll say that again. The powers of the eternal world have been placed at its disposal, at prayer's disposal. It is the very essence of true religion. It's the channel of all blessings. It's the secret of power and life, not only for ourselves, but for others. For the church, for the world, it is to pray that God has given the right to take hold of him and his strength. There's nothing like prayer. We can go into the very throne room of God. We can sit here this morning and intercede for those in Africa. We can intercede for those in Saudi Arabia. We can intercede all the way around the world. We can serve the Lord, and that's important that we would all serve the Lord. But we can travel the world instantaneously as we approach God in faith, in prayer. It is to prayer that God has given the right to take hold of him and his strength. It is on prayer that the promises wait for their fulfillment, the kingdom for its coming, the glory of God for its full revelation. And for this blessed work, how slothful and unfit we are, only the Spirit of God can enable us to do it correctly. But the Spirit of God lives inside of us, amen? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So the Holy Spirit can ignite inside of us. We can be walking down a street and we pass a person and the Holy Spirit can say, I want you to pray for that person. We don't know that person. We have no idea. And the Holy Spirit can give us a word of knowledge about something that's going on in that person's life so that we might be faithful to pray because God wants to do something in that person's life. Prayer is an amazing, amazing thing. It truly is. Now, this message has been planned of late, but prior to planning this message, there was four of us that had made plans to go this. We took off Thursday, 4 o'clock in the morning, drove to Roanoke, Virginia, for a prayer advance. And it was interesting. There were 750 men. About half of them, I think, maybe less, were pastors. And mostly Baptist pastors. I haven't been in the group of Baptist pastors for a long time, if ever. You know, I remember one time in Cincinnati, I think they were Baptist. I was there, about 3,000 of them. But 750 men. It was amazing. But we were there because of prayer, to hear from the Lord, to experience the importance of prayer. And so I believe that the timing of that is no small thing. And hear the message that the Lord has us for prayer. It's a beautiful thing. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Way back in the Old Testament there, please. Genesis chapter 4. The biblical basis for prayer is seen right here in verse 26 of chapter 4 of Genesis. It says, as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and they named him Enos. Then, notice this, men began to call on the name of the Lord. What is calling on the name of the Lord? It's talking to him. What is talking to the Lord? Prayer. Nothing more than that. But it's important that we understand how powerful it is. In 2 Chronicles, if you'll turn there, please, chapter 20, we see an example how important it was to the nation of Israel that was under attack. Jehoshaphat was there. The nation of Israel, all kinds of good things were going about in the midst. There were, if I might say, there was a revival going on. And then the enemy comes, a large multitude of people against. And you see in verse 3, Jehoshaphat, chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. A lot of times God will allow challenges in our lives. Anybody ever experience a challenge? He'll allow those challenges. Life has its challenges, but the Holy Spirit will be in the midst of that so that we might be driven to our knees, we'll be driven to prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the importance of prayer. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Look at verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hand is there not power and might, excuse me, might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God? Notice he's just reviewing who God is, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your father, your friend forever. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we shall stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out. What's crying out? Prayer. Cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. What a great man of faith. And now he gets very specific. See, often we have to learn how to enter into prayer. Sometimes we go instantaneously to the need, but we should take time more often than not to just fellowship with the Lord. Just praise him and worship him. That's what Jehoshaphat is doing right here. He's just saying, God, this is who you are. This is what you've done. Isn't this what we are to stand upon? And then the specific prayer in verse 12, in verse 10, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon whom? Upon God in that way. And we need to come to that place in our lives often, that we are driven to prayer. Trials are trials, and they're difficult at times, but I pray that we would learn in the midst of them to go to prayer. Go to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Please go there. And so we looked at the beginning of prayer there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. We see it in the action, the importance of it, that we see there in 2 Chronicles. And now we come into the New Testament where Paul exhorts Timothy. And he exhorts us today. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, therefore I exhort you first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Does God answer our prayers? He does. There was one pastor who gave a testimony on Saturday morning before we came back here, and he was burdened. He had witnessed to his mom and family members through years and years and years. And he realized when he was in Roanoke that he was only an hour from his mom. And he just felt an urgency. We were in prayer, and he felt an urgency to go and witness to his mom one more time. And so he calls his mom and says, I'm going to come and visit you. And she says, are you coming to witness to me? You know, that sounds like she's really open, right? And he says, well, in fact, Mom, I am. I'm coming to witness to you about Jesus. So he arrives there, and Mom was there, and conversation goes on, and he just says, I'm here, Mom, to witness to you. And she, at this time, allows him to witness to her. He goes through the Romans trail, from Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and Romans chapter 10. He goes through all of these things, and he gets to the point and says, now, do you want to give your life to the Lord? And she'd been really hard and closed off to this. And she said, well, there's one question that I have. And see, she had been married, and her husband had passed away, and they didn't get along very well at all. And she asked this question, if I pray this prayer, then I'll go to heaven, right? And he says, yes. And then she says, well, I have to put up with your dad any longer, right? Said that. Don was there with us, and I thought, that was so cute, so cute. And he says, yes, you will. And she prayed. Isn't that amazing? Prayer. That prayer took years. for God to answer. But he interceded on her behalf. The power of prayer is amazing. Jesus did it. In the garden, he prayed. In John chapter 17, he prayed. Paul speaks of prayer again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where he encourages us to continue earnestly in prayer and watch in the same attitude with thanksgiving. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, it says that God hears the prayer of the righteous. We are made righteous because of the work of Jesus in our life, so we can enter into the very throne room of God. He wants to hear us. He wants to speak to us. And that's an amazing thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, encourages us to have boldness to enter in. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, I love this one. The prayer of the upright is God's delight. He delights in our prayer. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we see the aspect of prayer. It's simply communication. And we see some categories of prayer. We see praise. When we enter in, we should take time, as I said, to praise the Lord. Thankfulness is the second thing we'll talk about, but there's a difference when we come in just to praise you. Lord, I just praise you. I adore you. You are so worthy of praise. You go to the book of Revelation and see that the angels themselves praise the elders there in heaven. Give praise to the Lord in that way. Yes, we are to be thankful. We find that. That means to have a grateful heart. We are to confess when we're there in prayer. If God shows us any sin, we definitely are to confess that. We had time in this prayer advance that we went to. That it's interesting to watch the messages. I was watching the messages. And first of all, they were there, and there was a challenging messages to tear down our hearts. Is there any sin in there that needs to be confessed? And then we moved from that and moved into encouragement and then challenge and praise and thanksgiving and it was a beautiful, beautiful time. It really was. Worship. Prayer is worship, adoration of the Lord. Prayer is petition for our personal needs. That's supplication. We are to pray for our personal needs. We're allowed to do that. Prayer is also intercession for the needs of others. True spiritual warfare goes on when we pray for others in that way. And we are to pray with an attitude to listen and come and step back and hear that the Lord would speak to us. I love what Chuck Smith says concerning prayer. Prayer is the most important activity a born-again Christian can engage in. I'll read it again. Prayer, Chuck Smith, and he probably knows this is true right now because he's in heaven. Prayer is the most important activity a born-again Christian can engage in. It should head your list of priorities, for certainly the world around us desperately needs prayer. God wants to do a tremendous work in these last days, and only prayer will change things. Only prayer will stem the tide of evil. Is there evil in this world today? Yes. The very fabric of America, and may I just disconnect from Democrat and Republican and Independent with this statement. Can I just take that out of my motive of saying what I'm doing? You guys comfortable with that? The presidency of the United States of America, the way that we do government and run our nation, is under attack, truly under attack. And I'm not speaking about Democrats. I'm not speaking about Republicans. I'm speaking about the spiritual warfare that's going on for our nation today. Be aware of that. Intercede. Pray about that, because we can't be blind to it, because we have to pray. It's an attack that's going on like maybe no other time has gone on in our history. Just praying for us. Pray for us in that way. Very important to do that. Chuck Smith went on to say this: your greatest outlet of spiritual power is prayer. I can do more for God through prayer than I can through any other means, including service. Prayer binds the strong man of the house, whereas service is just going in and taking the spoil. I can do more than prayer after I have prayed, but I really can't do more than pray until I have prayed. My service to God though important, is limited to one place. Prayer, however, is limitless in its scope. It can reach around the world. Those that have been here have heard me quote that quote before because it's one of my favorite quotes on prayer. Mr. Willis, a man of prayer, said prayer sets the hand of God into motion. Do we believe that today? How many believe it? Do we pray? Do we intercede? Do we supplicate? Do we worship and do we praise and do we listen? Because it's important if we believe this that God has given to us, there is nothing like that. I'm still learning. I haven't scratched the surface. Mr. Willis was 90-some years old. He died at age 97, a year before he passed away. I remember asking him this question. And I said, Mr. Willis, what is it like to walk with the Lord as you have walked with the Lord for over 85 years? What is it like? In that, he looked at me with it and got this little gleam on his face and his eyes and all that, and he just simply says, I haven't even scratched the surface. Oh, okay, that was encouraging. If he hadn't scratched the surface, ma'am, I still have a long way to go. But it's there for us, and we are to take advantage of it. Wesley Duell, a great man, an author, but a man of prayer, wrote this concerning prayer. Prayer is the highest, holiest, and mightiest effort on which a child of God is capable. Again, prayer is the highest, holiest, and mightiest effort on which a child of God is capable. Do we believe that today? The highest, holiest, and mightiest effort that you and I can do is prayer. He also said that prayer is God's chosen way to bring heaven's power, heaven's resources, heaven's angels into action on earth. So if that is true, why would we not pray? And I'm not saying that you don't pray, but even more so, might we pray if we really believe that? Someone has said concerning prayer that prayer is the hardest spiritual work we will ever do. To me, that is true. It's the hardest spiritual work that we will do because I have some of my best sleeps during my best sleep during my prayer time, you know? Distractions come all the time. Just go ahead and shut the door. And if you don't turn your phone off, you don't turn your computer off, if you don't put five locks on that door, you know, and all that, you're going to be disturbed in some way or whatever. Tells you the importance of prayer. Prayer is the deciding factor in spiritual warfare. It makes the difference. Do we believe that today? We must pray. Now, prayer accomplishes many things, and I'll just list some here for our consideration. It brings encouragement into our lives. If we pray, we can be encouraged. You ever get discouraged? Then it's a good thing to pray, just to pray. Prayer strengthens us. Many times I feel so weak. I don't understand, Lord. I just feel weak right now. What do I have to do? I have to get back into prayer. I have to train myself. Prayer builds our faith. I don't know what to do at times. How about you guys? I just don't know. Am I to do this? And if you want me to do that, how is that going to happen? Only by prayer. Only by prayer. We've seen it over 30 years in this fellowship. So prayer encourages us. Prayer strengthens us. Prayer builds our faith. And prayer brings protection into our lives. Protection. There are people that I know. There's family members that I love. That today, our prayers, I believe, protect them in the midst of spiritual warfare and just put a hedge about them, though they're not willing, that they don't even believe in God. I'm not going to stop praying because I know prayer will break it down and make it possible in that way. Prayer brings protection. Prayer brings blessings into our life. Anybody like blessing? We love to be blessed. Only a few people. The rest of you guys don't care. No. Blessings we can like, we can enjoy. It's okay. That's one accomplishment that can enter into our lives through prayer. Prayer brings growth in our lives. Very important. Prayer brings salvation into the lives of others, and it definitely brings salvation into our lives. And I love this one, the eighth one. Prayer defeats the enemy. Old Lou, he's defeated in the name of Jesus. Amen? He is at the cross. He's defeated. No doubt to it. Scripture tells us that. He is defeated, but in that his teeth have been yanked out, right? He would like to gum us to death. He tries to do that. But today we pray. We pray and we continue to pray. Let's, as we're closing, consider some ingredients to prayer. Sincerity. When we approach, when we approach God, we must approach in the spirit of truth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." When we approach the Lord, may we do it in sincerity. Number two, humility. God is God, amen? You know, often we think, wow, who am I that I can speak to God? I understand that. And I want to come boldly into his throne room, but at the same time, hand in hand is humility. As prayer is a privilege, our attitude must always be as a servant coming into the presence of a sovereign king. We should do that. Prayer, a successful ingredient to prayer would be repentance and confession. That should be part of our lives. Do that real quick when God reveals to us something that needs to be repented of. Obedience. God answers the prayers of those who know, obey, and keep his commands. We see that in Scripture. Faith, obviously. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those that do what? Diligently do what? Seek him. How do we seek him? Prayer. In his word, we do that. And forgiveness. Forgiveness of others is often the crucial test in our spiritual experience. We reach the pinnacle of Christ's likeness when we forgive others. Often there's problems in our lives. There's strongholds in our lives because we have not forgiven a person. And that enables a weakness in our walk with the Lord, and we need to forgive quickly. Fasting is an ingredient of prayer, that we would do that. Persistence, I love that. So often we pray, and because there is no immediate answer, we stop and feel, what's the use? We must persevere. Next, we see privacy. Go in, Jesus said, and shut the door. Shut the door. And we do pray according to God's divine will. We see when his will is our will, we may ask whatever we desire. And we see that in Scripture. And we pray in whose name? Jesus' name. When I hear people pray, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, I have the privilege of praying in public settings because of being a chaplain. And I always pray in Jesus' name. If they don't want me to pray in Jesus' name, then I'm not going to pray. Find somebody else to do that. But I'm going to make a point to pray in Jesus' name. And we pray in Jesus' name. I don't do that to be obstinate. I don't do that to be cantankerous. Maybe a little. But, you know, I do it because Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. It's a powerful name. The divine name. R.A. Torrey stated this concerning the name of Jesus. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ is to recognize that we have no claims on God whatever, that God owes us nothing whatever, that we deserve nothing of God. But believing what God himself tells us about Jesus Christ's claim upon him, upon God, we ask God for things on the ground of Jesus Christ's claim upon God. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because it's not just a thing we do. It's because God answers the prayers because Jesus has a claim on God. In a sense, he is, we know, God. It's an amazing thing. Until now, you have asked nothing, Jesus said, in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And then we are to pray in the Spirit, always praying. It is God, the Spirit, who ignites true prayer in the heart. We pray in the Spirit through the merits of Christ to the Father. To pray in the Spirit means consciously to pray ourselves under the Holy Spirit's influence, under his there. So we pray, and may we always, lastly here, pray with a wholeheartedness, not a half-heartedness. Well, I'm just going to throw up a prayer. No, we believe that God hears this prayer and we pray and we go before him. Good enough? Go with me to James chapter 5, and we are going to close here this morning. James chapter 5. This wonderful area of Scripture. Verse 13 through 20. Verses 13 through 20. James says in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails a few things. What's it say? Much. What does much mean? It means a lot. Elijah was a man, verse 17, with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The power that we have in prayer is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we must prevail in prayer. Amen? We must. Someone has said this concerning prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer is God's ordained means for extending his kingdom, for defeating Satan and his empire of darkness and evil, and for fulfilling God's eternal plan and bringing into effect his good will on earth. It is God's means of covering the earth with his blessings. The more we prevail, the more we will learn the secret of God's grace and the power of the powers of his kingdom. The more you intercede, the more intimate you will be in your walk with Christ, and the stronger you will become by the Spirit's power. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.